ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Let's talk business and finance with the ABC's chief business correspondent, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening to you and welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening, Phil. Good to be here, mate.
Yeah, good. Good to have you too. The government's been toying with this idea of a gas reservation policy for a while. This is an idea that's been up and down the traps, of course. Many people just can't understand why the government doesn't just go ahead and do it. There are some indications that it would like to do it. How close do you think we are to having a gas reservation policy, which we need on the East Coast? I mean, the West Coast, that's in Western Australia, already has one.
Yeah, look, I think we are close. You know, the government has just completed this major review into the East Coast gas situation, and it is, well, there's been a lot of talk that it would be handed down this week. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on with government at the moment, the federal government, particularly around social media, so maybe it'll be delayed till next week, who knows. But, look, we've got a pretty good idea what's been canvassed in this report. There's a lot of talk out there about it. Whether it's the ideal way to go remains to be seen. But, look, it's urgently required. I mean, you know, we've in the last few months we have seen massive businesses like Rio Tinto's smelting operation up in Newcastle at Tomago. We've seen other smelters, Tasmania, across the country, all threatening to shut down because the price of gas has just made it impossible for them to actually make money. And, you know, so there's that element of it, which is, you know, quite an emergency. We've got heavy industry looking and you know, energy-intensive industries looking to shut down and leave the country on the one hand. But there's a broader issue here as well, and that is to do with electricity generation. And, you know, we all know that electricity prices are very expensive, and that's because gas is what it's the last element that cuts into the electricity generation process. Mm-hmm. That makes it what's known as the marginal producer. And so pricing is really gets down to the price of gas. So one of the big reasons behind our soaring electricity prices is the price of gas. And as we've just seen in the last few weeks, we've suddenly got an inflation problem one more time. And again, it's all around electricity. So there's a real imperative here for the government to do something and to fix this once and for all, because we've been toying with this for, what, the best part of a decade now.
Yeah, I'm always confused when I have discussions, well, as we are when you discuss any energy policy, quite frankly, but because the gas companies say there's no shortage of gas on the East Coast. There isn't a gas shortage. And what the companies are saying who use the users of gas saying is, yeah, but it's too expensive. So what do we need here? Do we need more gas, or do we need a price cap on gas? And the two are quite different, aren't they?
Well, price caps haven't worked. You know, we've actually tried that. The Albanese government tried to put a price cap in place. What's required is for the gas exporters to start putting gas into the domestic market. Now, there are three major gas exporters on the East Coast.
Would you say would lower the price, you reckon?
Yeah, because the big problem we've had is that one of the gas exporters, the consortium led by Santos, has been draining gas out of the domestic market because it made a terrible mistake about a decade ago. It contracted to sell huge amounts of gas into the Asian markets, and it built this massive processing plant on Curtis Island off the coast of Gladstone in Queensland, but it didn't have enough gas reserves to put through that plant. And so as a result of that, they've had to buy gas or siphon gas out of the domestic market. Now, the other two consortia, the one led by Origin and the other one led by Shell, they've been supplying gas to the domestic market. The Santos consortium has not. And since 2017, the Santos consortium has taken around about 2 years worth of domestic gas out of the system. I mean, that's how much they're draining out of this system here. And, you know, you talk about the gas companies all saying all we need is more supply. They were saying that when they were a united front. Suddenly, there's been a split in the ranks here, and the two consortia, one led by Origin and the other led by Shell, are now saying, look, this isn't our fault. This is all down to the Santos consortium, and they're going to have to fix it, right? It's got nothing to do with us. We've been supplying gas into the domestic market. They've been taking it out.
Okay, so if we were to fix it, it'd be Santos-specific legislation, would it?
That's right. Now, there are two options, apparently, in this report that in this review that the government has done. And one option is for each of the exporters to ensure that they supply gas into the domestic market. The other option is for the industry as a whole to ensure that it supplies gas into the market. Now, Santos has got lobbyists going all over the place saying, well, we'd prefer option two for the entire industry to take the blame for this, whereas the other two big players in the field, which is Shell and Origin, are going, we're already supplying gas into the domestic market. We think we should go with option one, and you guys, you fix up your problems the best way you can.
How can the government guarantee that prices would fall low? You've got three big suppliers here controlling the supply of gas. So how do you ensure that prices fall?
By stop siphoning gas out of the domestic system. And that is the big problem we have here. I mean, look, there are other problems as well. And, you know, a big one is the fact that we've actually churned through most of our cheap gas, which came from Bass Strait and a lot of the Victorian fields. And Santos has actually, you know, taken a lot of that gas and sent it offshore and made huge profits out of it. Now, you know, everyone's talked about Narrabri and this massive field that Santos has that, you know, NIMBYs have said, no, we don't want any drilling on our property. The gas up at Narrabri is very, very expensive to actually get out of the ground. That is not going to be a solution to this problem. So the solution is for Santos to actually start supplying gas. You know, we've got huge gas supplies already on tap here, and the solution is for them to start supplying gas into the market. Now, you know, I asked somebody just yesterday, you know, if they can't meet their export commitments at the moment without siphoning out of the, you know, domestic market, where are they going to get this gas to pump back into the domestic market? And, you know, he basically said, well, they're going to have to buy it from somewhere. Now, they can buy gas that...
we can buy our own stuff back.
Yeah, they can buy gas from the other two exporters that ordinarily would go into the export market and direct that back into the domestic market, or they can go to the international market and start importing gas, right, and pumping it into the system. Either way, you know, it's pricing is all around supply and demand. So if you make sure that you've got adequate supplies in this market on the East Coast that can fulfil the demand and probably have a bit left over, you'll see prices fall as you've seen over in the West.
Who sets the price of gas on the East Coast market anyway?
Well, it's a free market. So, you know, when supplies are restricted and you've got, you know, demand from huge energy-intensive industries, you know, the price goes up.
I suppose that's my question, though. If they've only got three suppliers who are supplying gas, I mean... you know, there's going to be collusion, isn't there? I mean, there won't be a free market in it, or will there?
Well, those three exporters actually control 90% of the gas supply on the East Coast. So that's why the ACCC has had a running brief. They actually have a full-time team working on the gas market to ensure that there is adequate competition in that market. It's not easy, but, you know, the big problem that we've had is the fact that Santos has drained so much gas out of the market. It's meant that we've had supply shortages on the East Coast, you know, which is ridiculous given that we have so much gas here. And, you know, prices, since the export market opened up 10 years ago, gas prices on the East Coast have trebled. And more at various times.
It's nuts.
It's just ridiculous. So, I mean, Look, interestingly, the ACTU has come up with quite an interesting little proposition here. Support Institute, by the way, about another solution to fix it, and several other bodies have agreed with this. One way to fix this is to just tax exports at 25%.
Yeah.
Now, the petroleum resources rent tax doesn't deliver anywhere near the kind of revenue that it's supposed to deliver, even after it's been reworked just in the past year or so. It delivers about half what was expected. So if you taxed exports, it would be more lucrative to supply gas into the domestic market, and the federal government would receive something like $17 billion worth of revenue that they could use to probably reduce, put the budget back into surplus and reduce our debt.
Mr. Albanese, hop to it. Hop to it. Okay, you reckon they're on the verge of doing something, though?
Yeah, look, this review is going to come out sometime either this week or next week.
Okay. All righty, interesting. Ian, always great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.